Hello out there. This is Pamela Fagan Hutchins, and you found me on Wine, Women, and Writing. This is the podcast where I talk about primarily great female characters, authentics, complex, kick-ass, whatever their special thing is, and primarily the women writers that create them. Not that those women writers never create male characters, and not that I never talk to guys, as you all know, but that's the general vibe usually. And I am, as you probably also know, a USA Today best-selling author of crime fiction, and I appreciate you tuning in. And I also appreciate you going out to my website and checking out past shows and upcoming shows so that you can read along with the books that are going to be profiled. And while you're there, it's not going to hurt my feelings at all if you pick up my books too. So knock yourself out on that. I do have one obligatory thing to say, and that is this is a copyrighted and solely owned production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. All hail Pam Stack, our producer, who kind of rocks. I also am really excited today because not only did the temperature fall back down into the 40s last night in Wyoming, so I am loving life this morning, but I have a guest on the show that is someone that I've known since way back in the day. We'll just leave it at that. Way back in the day, and that is Mel Allgood. Mel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pamela. It's so great to be here with you.
It's so great to have you here. I was trying to remember when we would have originally met each other back in Houston. And I'm old and I'm counting back, but 2010 maybe? I mean, it's got to be
I would think so. I would think so. Cause I'm 35 now and I was like 26, 27 maybe.
So yeah. So somewhere around in there, you were a young pup. And you were coming to critique circles at my house.
Yes. Yeah. And that it totally changed my life working with you. And it really is. Those critique circles really made it for me.
They were fun. And you know what's funny is you guys were awesome for me. I had a lot of resistance about having people in my house because I'm an introvert and about critique circles because I don't want anyone to tell me I suck. And, you know, all the things that we're all scared of. And you guys were awesome. You really got me over that and got me into wanting to be part of a robust writers community. So it was like both directions going.
Match made in heaven, yes.
And you put up with my timing, everybody talking and telling you, shut up, you're done.
It was perfect, though, because you really just need that. You need to, and also it helps you as a writer to know these are the points that are immediate that need to be solved, you know, versus, you know, the grammar or whatever.
And we all have our blind spots, but that is a really good point about many writers when they're starting are focusing on things about correcting the English language, about correcting grammar, when that's not writing. Writing is stories, writing is characters, writing is theme and plot and things like that. And so that is to me one of the things that was exciting about you was that you're a natural born storyteller. And that was clear from the very beginning. That and you're not afraid to shock people.
No. In fact, there are times where I'm like, I think I'm taking it too far. And then I take it just a little bit further until people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you wrote that.
You're also from the very beginning of when I knew you, you're someone that's absolutely experimental as far as going across different genres. You just don't fence yourself in. What's the span of the different genres you've written in?
Everything as far as genres, YA, thriller, erotica, extreme horror, like, you know, some crazy ass is happening. But then as far as like I've written microfiction, so I've published a story that was 100 words, and then I've published novels that are 80,000 words. So even in so much as that. But I've always just listened to the characters. The characters, I always feel like I'm cheating because the characters are literally showing me what they're doing and I just have to write it down and then do all the work later. But really the storytelling is the best part because they literally show me what's going on. And if I'm like, that's a little too much, I don't think I can write that or whatever. They're like, no, girl, I did cut off two hands today, so go ahead.
And the good thing about writing is you can always fix it later, but you got to write it the way the characters are telling it to you and do it true and do it authentic, or you don't have the story. And you can go back later and go, maybe just one hand or a couple of fingers, you know, yeah. But you got to yeah. follow the flow. What is your favorite genre to write, or do you have one?
I don't really have one. I am again writing something currently about teenagers. Although technically the characters are 16 and 15, the storyline is very much like an adult storyline, one might say.
Right.
But I do find a special place in my heart for all those firsts, you know, like your first kiss and the first time this happened and how anything new when you're so young is just so bright. And in fact, in the new book, I'm telling part of the story from a six-year-old's perspective, a six-year-old boy. And that has been very illuminating just to think, oh my gosh, like everything he has seen, like how is he perceiving, you know, when he sees violence, for instance, how is a six-year-old seeing this? So I really always see it from the character's eyes. And, but generally anything that I can write where someone's reading it and then all of a sudden they're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Mom, cover your ears.
Yeah.
We're not governed by any rules on the internet. So, but it seriously, that is a lot of what my experience was with, I still remember my son, who was a teenager at the time, being in the next room, and you were reading aloud from the first Greater Good book, which was Unseen,
yes,
with Samantha and Matthew. And today we're going to talk about Gone, which is the second book in the Greater Good series. But you're reading a scene where a vibrator went off, and it was just in great detail about this vibrator. And my son later was like, you have ruined my life. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, if that's all it took.
I know.
I am the best mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I think he texted you while I was reading. And then later when I was done, you told me that your son was mortified. Yeah. But
it was funny, though. He was old. He already knew what they were, obviously.
Well, yeah,
it was no big deal, but it was really funny.
Yeah, he was definitely aware.
Both of my kids were scarred for life by critique groups, but my birth children, my three older ones, weren't there at the time, so I couldn't scar them with it. But it was not you that scarred my daughter. It was another writer. So you only take credit for one of my kids.
Only one of the children. Okay, good.
But it was so much fun because you were really, there was just something in you that didn't limit yourself, that didn't say, I need to follow rules or I shouldn't take this risk. And that's refreshing.
Yeah, I find
Anne, go ahead.
I really find that whenever I box myself in, it really sucks. And everyone I've had, because that has also been the joy of the critique circle, is people taking me aside and saying, I'm only reading this because you're a personal friend. It really sucks. Please move on. So, I've gotten that from a couple different people, and I'm very thankful because then I just move on. I'm like, great, just forget about that. Take what might have worked, that's steal it and use it somewhere else.
Because lots of what we write doesn't work, and sometimes the being brave is about cutting your words and saying, okay, I know I invested a lot of time in that, but that's utter crap, and so bye bye, and I'm moving on. And it's totally okay. That's writing.
100%. Yeah. Kill your darlings.
Yeah. Kill your darlings. I've got to say before we talk about Gone, I love Samantha and Matthew because, well, Samantha is just, we'll talk about her in a second. She's hilarious in the sense that she is, she is also without filters and will do anything, but I have a soft spot for everything that counts. I really, 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 from the minute you started reading that book aloud, and you guys, this is a young adult book. This one truly is written for teenagers with teenager voices, although adults love it too. It was just so spot on and so special. So before we talk about a violent, gory, almost amoral character, Matthew, the lovable geek, and everything that counts is just awesome.
Yeah, Blake is actually based off a.
I called him Matthew, and it's Blake. I had Matthew on the brain.
It's hard to keep him off the brain. But Blake is the protagonist in Everything That Counts, and he was based off a real person that I knew because I'm a hairstylist in the real world, and he was a client of mine, and he told me he was very forlorn, that no young lady wanted to go to the middle school dance with him, and you know, life was terrible because no one would love him because he was such a geek. And I told him, I'm like, first off, you're 13, so that's like slower roll. And second off, like, I'm like, you know, girls love that. I am now happily for 12 years been with the geekiest guy I've ever met in my life. Like, he is a total geek. And it's been wonderful. So I told him, I was like, you know, you'll meet that person one day. And he told me, you know, I wrote him the book, essentially. And I made it my own in that I did set it in my hometown of Annapolis, Maryland. And I did set it back in 2003, which is when I was a freshman in college, but I still knew where everything was. And
yeah,
there's so many special things in there that only me or my friends from back then would recognize. And it's just very, you know, it's a very special book to me in that. And it's very hard for me not to say, when people ask me who's my favorite character, what's my favorite book, it's very hard for me not to say that one, because everything about it is so very much me. And I just thought about how I would imagine maybe my son might act, my fictitious son, and especially the relationship he had with his mother in one scene when he's just hit rock bottom and he's lost it and it's all over and what's the point? And he has the scene with his mom, and I was really like speaking to the real Blake in a way, saying like, hey, you know, like, life totally sucks and you're gonna mess up, but you have to get back up. So that book in particular is special to me.
It's very cool how a lot of times readers don't realize that so much of what authors write, that when it feels really authentic, that's because it is. It's because you're pulling from something that you can feel down to your core because you lived it. And in between the fact that, you know, this book was a love letter to a young boy in an adult way. You know, this is a hairstylist that looks at this young boy and says, oh, I just love you, kid. You're just awesome and you're going to be great. And so let me show you a story that shows you being awesome. And also to your hometown and to, you know, all that comes out. And yet we're here to talk about a thriller that does not have sweet teenagers in it. Gone. And it's the second book in your series. So tell us about Gone and the characters in Gone.
So like you said earlier, Unseen is the first book in the Greater Good series, where we do meet Samantha Locke, she's a assassin just completely fueled by revenge to find out who murdered her father. And then she joins this team, and Matthew Burke ends up being her handler. And of course, they're both very hot. So, of course, it's easy to fall in love. But also, Matthew's trying to figure out who murdered his best friend. So they're both fueled by the same thing. And that gets them.
Yeah.
That connects them in a way that nothing else could. And also, they're professional liars. So, you know, who else can you trust? So they do survive. They both survive the first book, and then we get to Gone. And that's when we really see more about where Samantha's from. How did she become this bloodthirsty assassin? You know, she was raised by this motorcycle gang out in San Diego. And my good Lord, do we really get into that? And
that's cool. I loved that.
Yeah. I mean, I really, if anything, I really wanted to see where she came from. And I know some people think that maybe writers, we plan all this out, but Samantha told me exactly what she was wearing and what she was doing. And when I said, oh my God, please don't say that, she'd say, well, F you, I'm going to say it. So yeah, so it was really cool to see that. And also where Matthew's from, because he's very, he is essentially the where the greater good comes from. He's in general always thinking about the bigger picture, whereas Samantha's very much more immediate and visceral. So we also see where Matthew comes from and where, you know, how did he get made into the person he is? And also, he's not perfect and he has demons. So what are those? But in Gone, right when they're about to finally get something maybe good, Matthew goes missing and Samantha has to go find him. So
that makes for quite a thriller. And what I think is cool about them as characters is that in some ways they're so the same. In other ways, they're so different. And yet they manage to respect the differences each other and come together a little bit, you know, change each other a little bit without completely giving up who they are. But it's a fast paced book with a lot of action, a lot of blood.
Yes. Very, very much, very much a lot of blood. I would agree.
And yet it doesn't even come close. Like you're saying, you write extreme horror. I'm fascinated by, and I admit that I haven't read it, but I'm fascinated by the one about the hair-raising tales of, you know, the from a hairdresser's point of view, basically the horror stories.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yes.
And just tell us just a little bit about that, because you have so many different directions people can go to that are so cool, and I want them to know little bitty pieces of each.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I do have a short story. It's in, I have it in several collections. One of them is Hair-Raising Tales of Horror that I did publish in conjunction with Chantel Renee. And then also, awesome. She's so awesome. And also my collected works in Everyone Dies Morbid Tales from Tales from a Morbid Author. The one that gets the most traction, because I do, you know, I'm a hairdresser and I do have clients that want to read my stuff. And usually they read the spy stuff and they read Everything That Counts. And they're like, yeah, we love the Greater Good series, love Everything That Counts. But when they do read a particular short story, they always come and tell me. And the short story is called Hair Dying. And it is a group of, well, one hairdresser in particular that gets kind of mad at her client and kills them. So then all the hairdressers kill all of their clients just because, you know, it came after a stressful day where I just felt very, I was like, they don't appreciate all the hard work I do. And so that, in fact, yeah, it was pretty good. But there's another story. That one is called The Orchard.
Moral of the story here is be nice to your hairdresser, people. Be nice to your hairdresser. They have knives around your neck.
Exactly. I always think I'm like, you know, we have caustic chemicals on your scalp. I don't know why you're messing with me right now.
So go ahead. You were going to tell me about the other one.
But I think my new, like, scariest one, or when I tell people about it, they're like, what the H? But it's called The Orchard. And it's actually based off of a very true story. There was this podcast called Up and Vanish that I listened to, and I highly recommend it. And I essentially wrote, it's about this beautiful young woman that goes missing in Georgia. And for decades, they can't find out what happened to her. And actually, the people on the podcast solve it. So definitely listen to that. But I wrote a short story called The Orchard, and it is told from the perspective of the killer. And I knew that they had kept the body of this young woman for a while. And I was thinking, you know, I was like, well, what would, if I was the serial killer, creepy dude, you know, and I was keeping the body of my victim for many days after she's already dead, what might happen? And a lot of people that read that story are a little creeped out, and I'll leave it at that. But
but experimental. It's good for you to write in different voices and listen to them and try different things, as long as you don't try it in real life, you know. So that's good.
Exactly. It really gets out your aggression. When you've had a bad day, I thoroughly recommend going home and writing some flash fiction where you kill somebody. It's very.
I always found that when I was frustrated with my kids, if I went and wrote a story that was about them, that was therapeutic, you know, and that you got it all out, how you really felt. And I guess it's the same way with clients that make you want to, you know.
Yes, very much.
Do so. Violent things. And so with respect to Gone and the Greater Good series, is this going to be a continuing saga? Will we get more Crazy Samantha and Hot Matthew in book three?
Yes. In fact, one of the best things about being on furlough for 2 months was that I wrote the entire third novel. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, I wrote, and honestly, I've been writing like a crazy person. I wrote all like 80,000 words in 2 months, and even started another novel. But yeah, the final book in the Greater Good series, which is called Home, it is in the hands of beta readers now, and they're enjoying it. They're not simply disgusted and telling me to throw it out the window. So,
good.
Yeah. So that should be out next year. So
that's fantastic. I can't believe you were so productive. It was crazy. Some people were super productive and others were paralyzed by anxiety. And, it's a really wonderful use of your time that you were able to be distracted and do the books.
Yes. Yeah. I also did watch all of Gossip Girl. So I wasn't completely, you know, doing something, but yeah.
Gossip Girl. So some really high-minded.
Oh yeah. Really taking it to the upper echelon of intelligent thinking. Yes. Yes.
I can't say much. We won't talk about some of the mindless crap that I watch. So, but I found that actually I was writing a book and it was a lighter toned book. Oh, during during the quarantine, and I couldn't do it, and I had to switch to writing a thriller that was a little bit more anxious because I was anxious, and that I needed to write something that where I was trying to get a pace and get in a deal with and burn off anxiety. It was really for me. It was interesting. It wasn't. I didn't write as much. My word came down, but what I was able to write was really informed by what was going on. I sure didn't want to write about a quarantine, but I did want to write something where I was burning off anxiety.
Yeah, that's, I highly recommend it. That's exactly what I did too. Any anxiety, I just put it out on the page. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Well, I am just delighted that the young woman that walked in with your I'm trying to remember the tennis shoes that you used to wear. Do you still wear those tennis shoes?
Oh, yeah, they're like Chucks. Yeah.
Your Chucks. Walked in with your Chucks and with everyone that was, I think that there was no one there under 35, maybe 40 no, at the time beside you.
Yeah.
Walked in with all of that enthusiasm and the confidence that you had even at that young age, and that you're still doing such good work and that you're putting it on the page, which the work is about getting your butt in the chair and putting it on the page. It just makes me so happy. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy about you. And I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, Pamela, I feel the same way. You really did. I love that you were so concise and just didn't, you know, if I wanted someone to just, you know, flower it for me, but you really got it down to it. And I'll still remember when you were reading Unseen, you know, there at the critique circle, you said, you know, this is really the story about a fucked up relationship. And in all actuality, whenever I was writing and I was like feeling lost and I couldn't find that lighthouse, I'd be like, you know what, that's what it is at its core. So let's just get back to what the characters are telling me. So I'd like to thank you for everything.
Good.
For me. Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear that. And you know, to me, a lot of times writing is about closing out what you think you're supposed to be writing or what other people tell you you're supposed to be writing and just writing the story that's coming to you and doing it true. And I'm glad to have a little part in you figuring out at the core what it was that you, the story you were trying to tell, so that you could listen to those characters and do it. So, and now they have a third book. So you listened good.
Yes, it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. You can go and find Melissa's books at MelAllGoodAuthor.com. You can find them on her Amazon author page, and you will see what we were talking about, that she has quite a variety in the collection that's available to you, and a variety in terms of length too. She's got a lot of shorter pieces in different collections that are some of her best work. I always enjoyed it when Mel brought a short story with her to Critique Group. And if you are looking for something to do this beautiful summer, you know, don't go outside. Don't enjoy the fresh air. Sit your butt down and read a book. No, take your book outside with you. Okay, you can still have your fresh air, but take a book and a little blanket. Have a picnic, a sweet little picnic and a horror story. They go so well together. So you guys have a great week, and I will see you next time. Mel, take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.